Right now, we are going to one of the funnier people in the world at the moment. Born Roy Haylock, now better professionally known as Bianca Del Rio, an actor, an insult comedian, a costume designer, and a drag queen, came to international public prominence as the season 6 winner of RuPaul's Drag Race in Cape Town for a performance tonight at the Artscape Theatre. Bianca Del Rio, a very, very good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm in exceptionally good health and spirits. And yourself?
Oh, I wish I could say the same, but I'm alive. So luckily I'm alive.
What is the matter? You're in one of the more beautiful cities in the world. You're going to be adored by thousands on stage tonight.
Well, I just needed you to point that out for me. Now I feel much better. Thank you. No, it is beautiful here. This is my first time here, so I'm quite excited.
And you had a good meal last night, I believe.
I did. We had a great meal, and then I got to hang out with some other drag queens and have a couple of cocktails. You know, the good life. The good life.
Are there more drag queens to hang out with in Cape Town?
Well, actually, it's always great because when you get the best part about getting to travel with a show is that you have the opportunity to meet so many people that are locals. I mean, for me in particular, I didn't expect to be traveling the world, much less get to meet so many people that are fabulous and wonderful in their own city. So it's always great to see what everybody else is doing and how fabulous they are.
And people who follow you very closely, your fans, and I must tell you that my producer, Stefan, is a huge fan. He's on a holiday today. But he came in so he could make the call that connected me to you. That's how much of a fan he is.
Well, he has wonderful, impeccable taste, I must say. That's lovely to hear.
But for people who don't know your story that well, how did Roy Haylock become Bianca Del Rio?
By default, I had started a career in theater and was doing costumes and wigs and makeup for that. And through it was the opportunity to do a show. There's this musical parody show called Pageant, which is basically a fictitious beauty pageant where the 5 or 6 contestants are men. And they needed someone else, and I happened to be there. So I just kind of fell on to drag in particular. And through that, several people had seen me that had worked at the local gay clubs, and they were like, would you like to come do a guest spot? So it was one of those things where it was a spur-of-the-moment situation. I was doing it once every month, and then it turned into 5 days a week. And then I moved to New York, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then the magic of television, you know, that kind of shifted everything really for me to travel the world and spread my hate to the masses. So it's been kind of an unreal journey.
Spread your hate to the masses? Whatever do you mean?
Well, I think most people don't expect to relate to a drag queen. But in theory, you know, it's my packaging to get away with murder. Because if I didn't wear a wig, they would say, what a hateful homosexual. And then if I wear the wig, they call me hysterically funny. So it's kind of like that Dame Edna effect, you know, where you get away with a lot and it actually makes for an entertainment. But I don't think people expect to think they can relate to a drag queen or find truth in what a drag queen's saying. Immediately they think, oh, you know, I can't relate to that. But I think you really can, because I do live a pretty normal life, even though I have a, you know, female in the suitcase. But it's, you know, it's kind of fascinating to see the audience's reaction to what you say and do.
Yes, I'm interested in a relationship like Roy Haylock has with Bianca Del Rio, what the relationship is between them. How much does Roy like Bianca, and would Bianca be seen dead with Roy? And, you know,
well, I look at it this way. Roy has to be nice to Bianca because Bianca pays my bills. So it's like having a sugar mama, as they say in America. So she's the old lady that pays his bills, so he can't be too upset for too long. It's true, you know? I mean, if you can't find somebody to date, date yourself. It's easy. At least you know what you're dealing with.
So the things that Bianca says Roy would never think or say them.
No, I would. But I just think that to a large group, it wouldn't be considered accepting. You know, my friends know I'm an evil bastard. But I think that, you know, to present it to an audience, it has to come from a place of theatrics, you know? And a wig, you can get away with murder with a wig. Trust me. I mean, look at Donald Trump, him and his wig. He's getting away with a lot.
Including murder, literally.
Oh, I can't. I can't even discuss politics. It's too dreadful. And that's one of the reasons why it's been amazing to get to travel the world. I get the opportunity to apologize to the globe for our, you know, so-called president that we have. And I have to, you know, when a drag queen's embarrassed about someone, you know it's bad.
But I understand that he is a super follower of yours on Twitter. He just...
Actually, I think he blocked me from Twitter, which is kind of amazing to think about, that the president of the United States has enough time to block a drag queen for disagreeing with him. I find it completely fascinating.
Perhaps it is the way in which you disagreed with him that he did.
Yeah, well, let's just say 140 characters on Twitter, I can say a lot. I can get a lot in there.
My technical controller is in the final three of a South African version of Survivor, which is screening at the moment. So yeah. I'm in constant daily contact with somebody whose life is already being changed by being in a successful reality television series. And if she wins the R1 million, well, you know, and I imagine it's a bit like that with you and winning RuPaul's Drag Race. You probably would have been successful and funny and admired if you hadn't won it, but winning it just takes it to another level.
Well, I think that the opportunity is pretty amazing, and that's what I try to explain to anybody that, you know, either a drag queen is interested or a fan that watches the show. I always say it's just an amazing platform. TV is a pretty powerful thing, and in my brain, I was from season 6, and they're on season 10 now. I just assumed that it would be, you know, a couple of cities in America, you know, my hometown of New Orleans or New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles would be watching, not on a global scale. And it's quite fascinating because the show has reached, you know, all over the place. And I've been able to travel since then with my show, you know, to Australia, to the UK, to here, to Brazil, you know, to Hong Kong. So it is kind of surreal to think that many people are watching it. So it's really what you do with the platform. I mean, several of my friends who obviously didn't win the season I was on, but they, they have very successful careers thanks to this amazing platform. So, you know, never rule it out. Even if you lose, you'll win in the end. You know, it's a good thing.
And I mean, you've talked about the wig several times.
Yeah.
You can get away with stuff in a wig, but you're not only in a wig, you're in makeup and you're in a dress and you're well, you're in a good place because you've been designing dresses for a very long time.
Yeah, well, I think what's fascinating, I keep using the word fascinating because it's the best word to use, is that, you know, your entire life, everything that I was told I couldn't do as a child is what's making me money now. So it is quite interesting when you deal with your family and they look at what you're doing and they think, all right, well, this is kind of cool. But I think costume and theatrics were always part of my life. So it just kind of makes it a little easier for me to be able to do everything myself. And most people, you know, look at me and obviously I don't go for a natural look. Well, maybe a natural look of a corpse. But overall, I kind of look like your dead grandmother on stage, which is kind of nice. You know, it's kind of comforting to the audience.
Yeah, I was having a look at some pictures of you earlier today and you're the dead spitting image of my dead grandmother.
Exactly. I look peaceful.
Well,
yeah.
She wasn't peaceful. Sadly.
Oh, she wasn't.
Sadly.
And look where it got her. Dead. Yeah, you see?
I mean, you have Latino parents, Cuban one side, yeah. Honduran the other side. And who knows whether the sort of stereotypes one has of Latino parents are accurate, but you have the sort of notion that American Latino parents are going to be conservative. They're going to be, my child,
oh,
where
course.
Are you? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, of course. I think for many years they thought that anything that I did that wasn't the norm was their fault. But I think as an adult, I mean, I'm the 4th out of 5 kids, it got a little easier. And now it's quite fascinating because I'm the only one that hasn't been to jail or has any kids for them to watch. So I'm the star child now, which is really good, which is a lot to be said.
When you visit your siblings in jail, do you visit as Roy or as Bianca?
I visit as Roy because, you know, I don't want to pick up another boyfriend. I mean, last one I had in prison really didn't work out well. So I definitely keep that away. And not to mention, if I show up and drag out of prison, they're going to think, oh, my God, what's my grandmother doing here? So the ghost of Christmas past does not appear. No.
And the categorization of yourself as insult comedian, comedian, is that something that you were from the beginning? Was it a sort of fairly cold-blooded decision? There's a gap for that kind of drag queen. Although a lot of the names that come immediately to mind also have that very caustic, wounding kind of humor.
Well, I think it started mainly because I was working at a bar, you know, in the middle of the day. I was doing, you know, a bingo. God forbid, bingo in the afternoon during happy hour. And I mean, that's the worst audience you want to deal with. I mean, anybody who's drinking at 3 p.m. obviously has a problem. So when they're there, the last thing they want to hear is a drag queen with a microphone calling out bingo balls. So through that, I think this is where the hate began. You know, if you have that type of crowd of four people at 3 p.m., you really kind of learn how to function in the world. They're trying to drink. I'm trying to do my job. So I think that's where the hate kind of began. And also, you know, if you've ever been to a drag show, they go on and on and on. I mean, they're always, they're usually 3 hours long, and no one's ever been to a drag show and said, wow, I wish it was longer. So when you're there, you know, I was the filler person. I had to deal with the audience and deal with the rowdy bachelorettes, or had to deal with the drunk straight girl, or, you know, the married couple who's nervous, who thinks because I'm a gay man that I might, you know, entice him. And I always have to explain to straight people that you're welcome to come to the show and laugh, and don't worry, you won't be gay. I'm not recruiting. So I think that's where it all kind of stemmed from. And then it became an act, you know, then I was able to actually formulate it into an hour and a half of me talking.
And I, a lot of the South African comedians that I admire greatly get pretty close to the edge. And occasionally I go, ooh, I'm not sure you should have said that. Do you find that sometimes you look out into the audience and you kind of go, Bianca, naughty, naughty, naughty.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's important just in general. I mean, look at the world we live in. It's like, you know, if you're concerned about something a drag queen says, you have a problem. I think it's pretty easy to quickly judge and say, you can't say that. And I often have had people that said, you can't. I said, I can say whatever I want. You don't have to like it. And that's totally fine. But I refuse to be, you know, in this political correct world. I think it's so silly and so ridiculous, because the 95% of the jokes I make are about myself. So if I can laugh at myself, we can all laugh at everything. I think it's, nothing is that serious. And if you're coming specifically to see a drag queen, I think you know what you're getting into to begin with. You know, with the current climate in the world, everyone is quick to say, you can't say this, you can't say that. Now, I think in print, things come across a little differently, like in interviews or when you're actually, you know, writing something, like I just did a book. So writing things in the book were quite different than actually presenting it. You know, you say it, we laugh, we move on. But having it in print and then under your name and under your photo can be a little daunting sometimes. It can totally change people's perception. So I think as long as you're laughing at yourself, nothing should be off limits. Come on.
Yeah. I know that you have lots of makeup to put on and a wig to tease out, but would you mind, before we say goodbye, just giving us a minute, minute and a half of your act? Something. Oh. Remember, this is family radio. We're subject to various restrictions, and I could go to jail on your behalf. So.
Well, if you go to jail, at least I'll come visit you. No, in my brain, I'm trying to think of what can I say that that's the, you know, I go through it because, you know, it's my usual routine, and I'm thinking every third word might be a problem. But let me think. Oh, is that well, I had this big discussion. You know, I do discuss politics and I do discuss Donald Trump, and I have to remind people that, you know, coming from America, I just want the audience to know that I personally did not vote for Donald Trump. And it's not because I'm a good person. It's because I'm not legal in America. And it's one of those things where you feel the need to explain yourself to everyone. And in America, there's two types of Donald Trump supporters, idiots and billionaires. And I say, check your bank account and see which one you are. That's probably the safest thing I could tell you, because it goes on a tirade.
Enjoy the rest of your brief time in Cape Town and then your time further up north. It's not nearly as pretty, but it's kind of wilder. Maybe Bianca will fit in better there than this calm, sensible place down here. Thank you very much for talking to
us.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Bianca Del Rio on at the Artscape tonight. If you don't have tickets, I think there might be one or two left. Just go quickly onto the CompuTicket website and book yourself one.